daily growing strong. My heaven, my hope, forevermore. My Savior comes and walks with me, and sweet communion here have we. He gently leads me by His hand, for this is heaven, fatherland. Oh, Beulah Land, sweet Beulah Land, as on the highest mount I stand, I look away across the sea, where mansion that prepared for me, and view the shining glory show, my heaven, my hope, forevermore. Amen. Let's pause for prayer this time. Brother Daniel, can you lead us in our prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this evening as well, for all this time to gather together, Lord, to come back into your house, to hear once more a message to last us for this week, Lord, to gather us here.
Amen.
Thank you for your words today. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for the life that you give us, the salvation that we have through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lord, that we have an eternal destination to look forward to, Lord. Our life here doesn't just end. We can continue forevermore to be with you. Once we are in heaven, Lord, we thank you for
Amen.
That privilege. We thank you for that sacrifice that Jesus made and that cleansing blood.
Thank you, Lord.
That's able to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. Lord, we thank you for that. And we ask that you open our hearts and our minds, Lord, that we can hear your word in this evening and be doers of your word as well. Thank you for your blessings in Jesus' name.
Amen. You may be seated. And let us continue good singing as we turn back to so hymn books, page 850. Our topic tonight is on heaven, so if you notice a song singing about heaven, that's what it's about tonight. Sing first, second and last verses in this hymn, 850, farther along. Okay, that's it. Okay. I will make to wonder why it should be thus all the day long. There are others in about us, never molest them, knowing the wrong. Father, how long we know all about it? Father, how long we understand why? Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it by and by. Verse number 2. When death has come and taken a loved one, it leaves the home so lonely and rare. Then do we wonder while others prosper in so wicked year after year? Father, I love thee, know all about it. Father, I love thee, understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand this by and by. Let's take number 4. When we see Jesus singing in glory, when he comes from his home in the sky. Then we shall meet him in that bright mansion. Standing on my and by. Father alone, we know all about it. Father alone, we understand why. Cheer up my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it, all by and by. Amen. A good reminder when things happen that we don't quite understand. God does understand. Let's pause at this time for the announcements, and then we can continue singing after the announcements.
All right, good evening. How's everyone doing tonight? Good, all right. Wonderful to be together again this evening. Does anyone need a bulletin? Raise your hand if you need one. We have ushers scattered around, but they won't bring one if you don't ask. So anyone need one? Okay. It's good to have Mr. Gibson with us again tonight. Welcome, Mr. Gibson. How are you feeling?
Doing well tonight, thank
you. Good. It's great. We're glad to hear it. How was your week this week? It was okay? Heard you took a little fall this past week.
Yes, just a short one.
Good. Well, that's a blessing. Do you need a bulletin? Mr. Hodge might need one up here. Anyone else need a bulletin? Raise your hand. We'll get one to you. Oh, yes, our ushers tonight. Just by way of announcements, next Sunday is Rejoicing Sunday. It's good to have the Altamari family with us tonight, visiting with us tonight. We're glad they are here. They were at a wedding yesterday, and glad that they are here with us tonight. Then it's also good to have each and every one of you. It's good to see some people up in the video booth and the sound booth. Mr. Watkins in the sound booth, and CJ and Jonathan in the video booth. Very good job. And Mr. Daniel Rivera kind of coordinating that. And Pastor Logan's absence. And so glad Pastor Logan will be going again next Sunday as well. So let's keep everything running. And have we figured out how to post them on the internet yet? Is that what we're still working on? We're getting sound?
Sound
of the video. Okay. So let's... The software, do we do have a computer now? Okay, all right, so one by one, we're thankful for those donating equipment that we can get this online so that now our church's influence can go out there, not for our glory, but for God's glory. It's all about Him, and we want the teaching of the Word of God to go out on the internet, and so that those who don't have a church can have something that would be faithful to the Word of God. Just by way of other announcements, we do have these little postcards to invite. We used them out yesterday at a lot of doors here in Northfield, and sure enough, they work. One of them says, "You are invited to an open house." Really nice, attractive picture on there. And, oh, that's nice. Oh, okay. And so basically, there's no date on it, so they don't expire. So what you do... Use this when you say, "Hey, can you come? You're invited to an open house we're having at our church this Sunday. Can you come?" Or the next two Sundays. I've been saying the next two Sundays because we've had the two Rejoicing Sundays. That gives them a chance. If they're not going to be here this week, they're going out of town, they can hit us next week. So this is very important to use these postcards. They do work. And we got some people. I believe there was extra visitors today as a result just of our faithfulness of inviting people. So let's keep inviting people. And then you're invited to be our guest at Northfield Baptist Church. Nice, attractive. This one is useful to tell people what the church looks like. I recognize that church. I drive by there every now and again. You know, and so this is a helpful one. You're invited to be our guest. We're having an open house. Come on out and give them this one too. Or give them the tracks. The tracks are very, they have all the full color tracks with the service times in the back. You can use our other tracks as well with one of these to give them our service times, however you want to do it. But let's get the Word of God out to our community and let them know there's a good church here at Northfield Baptist so that they can come and be a part of it. Bible preaching, New Testament church. Then next week we do have a membership, and we're looking forward to that. Membership candidate as well. The following couple weeks we'll have more as well. So looking forward to those who are wanting to join our church. And are there any other announcements that need to be mentioned tonight? Anything else that needs to be mentioned announcement-wise? Okay, all right. This time we'll ask our ushers to come as we give to the Lord of our tithes and offerings this evening. Here's some facts. In all four Gospels and in the book of Acts, more than 80% of the witnessing encounters occurred between total strangers. There's a lie that's going on today among Christians that says, oh, you have to get to meet them first. Oh, it's not going to take long, gentlemen. I promise you, only a minute. I guess they're thinking I'm going to preach a message here. It's happened before. Uh-oh. So if you don't know the person, you can't witness to them. That's what Christians are saying today. They're saying you have to build bridges, you have to get to know them. Then at some point you'll be able to witness to them. Well, guess what? In the Bible, that didn't happen. 80% of the people who witnessed were total strangers. So that's a lie that's coming out of the Laodicean church mill, you know, that, oh, you have to get to know them. No, that's not how it happened in the Bible. Did Philip know the Ethiopian treasurer? You know, well, I had to build bridges. The first time I went in this chariot, we talked over some things, and we said, we'll meet at Starbucks next time to have a relationship. No, what's happening is Calvinism is creeping into so many churches, which says you have to be lazy and just kind of become their friend first. That's not the way it should happen. Let's just get in the harvest fields and witness for the Lord. And then the other good quote here from Mark Cahill's book, The Watchman. Remember that when you walk out of your comfort zone, you are walking right into God's comfort zone. I always feel out of my comfort zone when I'm witnessing. But you know what? That's a good thing. That's exactly where we should be, because if you're comfortable witnessing to someone, then that means you're not doing something right, okay? So, yes, it's always a little uncomfortable to give someone I want to tell you about our church. Have you ever heard that Jesus loves you? Do you know that God loves you? He made you? John 3:16 says that, and you go through that. You know, use the five verses of the Romans Road right on the back of the car. That's what I did yesterday with some of the people, and they're like, wow, you know, that's really amazing. So let us use what God has given to us as resources. Now we'll have our gentleman come, and I guess that was a little longer than 30 seconds a minute, but you got me on one of my hobby horses, casual relationship evangelism. That's what many churches say. You got to build a relationship first. All right, let us bow together in prayer.
Father God, Lord, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for the extreme privilege of the open doors of this church. And we know that in these closing days of grace, that there's a lot of good fundamental churches, or at least those that we thought were good and fundamental, that are either closing up their doors or almost as bad, totally compromising to the sounds and the message of the world. We know, Lord, that we need to keep strong, and we know that we need to stay in tune with exactly your teachings, so that we present your word without any compromise, without any social gospel or any of that stuff. We just thank you, Lord, that you have allowed us to follow this course. And to this extent, we just pray that you would continue to funnel the support to this work such as necessary. We know that in a previous month or so, the offerings have been somewhat low. And we just pray, Lord, that you have given us the plan of your economy.
Amen.
It is work to be supported.
Amen.
And if it is not to the extent that you would see it supported, then we know that there's a lot of us who are going without a lot of blessings as a result. And we just pray, Lord, that you would get things fine-tuned back into exactly the way they need to be.
Amen.
So that the support that is really necessary to maintain this work for you would be forthcoming. We just pray, Lord, that you would continue to bless and watch over us in the manner of our giving, as we would seek your face in the manner of our giving this evening. Ask that you suit a blessing to each gift as well as to each giver. And we pray that you would watch over us at this time. We just ask these things this evening in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
One song before testimonies, and it will be 697. Save My Savior First of All. You sing the first verse and the chorus only. 697.
My lawnmower broke, and I thought for sure I was going to be without the lawnmower for a week. waiting for the new part to come in. And I went to Atlanta to a friend of mine who's got used parts, and I asked him if he had the part. I showed him what broke. He goes, he actually had as rare as it would be. He actually had the part that I actually needed.
Mm-hmm.
And then the price, it was really reasonable, so it was very good.
Amen. God's supposed to supply your needs. You know,
Amen.
He promised he does that. Anyone else with a blessing? Answer the prayer. Something happened this past week or even today. You can share the blessings. Someone else? Okay, let's have a chorus or a song. Someone else? Okay, let's. I gave you one of my songs. Let's go
Paul,
to.
Paul has one.
Paul has one?
Yeah. Which one?
As the deer?
In the Majesty Hymn Book, As the Deer.
The Majesty Hymn Book.
Four ninety-seven.
As a deer in the water, oh, so my soul longs for you. You are my heart, desire and love to worship you. Testimony? Our song. Go ahead, Pastor.
I know we have testimonies out there. We just need an icebreaker.
Okay.
Break the ice. But it's good to have the Altamares with us. And it's good. I was just reminded when we went to Walmart a couple weeks ago, thankful for Zion, Zamora, Blessing, Messiah, Tyler. They're all excited about doing that. And Paul and Lydia and Holly. And as a result of our two teams going out to Walmart, we were able to give out a lot of tracks. And so the kids are kind of helping to lead the way in our church's evangelism. And I think that's great. I think kids keep it up. Teens keep it up. Because we've got to stay excited about giving out the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, we'd become a dying church ourselves if we don't continue to give out the gospel. So I'm thankful for the kids stepping up. Even the ones who just got saved last year, stepping up, helping to set the energy in motion for the gospel giving out.
Amen.
So I'm thankful for all of you.
All right. Any more testimonies? Go ahead,
Every Wednesday, my art worker, she has showers.
Mm-hmm.
So every Wednesday in Atlantic City, we shower the homeless and we give them the gospel. We led 3 people last week.
Amen.
To the Lord. Okay, praise the Lord. Anyone else before we close? We just got out of time. Anyone else for a testimony? If not, I will turn it over to Pastor Rice at this time. Testimony time is past. So we want to take part and cut the message short.
Okay. All right, let's turn our Bibles, Nehemiah chapter 10, as we look into the Word of God as we almost are done our study of Nehemiah. A couple of the chapters in the end of Nehemiah are a list of names. So it's kind of hard to preach a chapter list of names. Now, we could do it. If I was a Hebrew scholar and I dug in, we could figure out who. Well, a lot of them we don't know who they are, but some of them we do. Of course, Jesus' line is in there because he's connected and he comes from Zerubbabel's line. If you look through Mary's genealogy in Luke chapter 3, you'll find Jesus came from the line of Zerubbabel. But not from Solomon's line, but from David's other son, Nathan. David had a son named Nathan, and not the prophet Nathan that he had as well, but he actually named a son Nathan. And Jesus comes through Mary's line, because we know Joseph's line is in Matthew 1, but did Jesus actually come from Joseph's line? Did he have any, did Joseph have anything to do with Jesus as far as bringing him forth? No. Mary, God performed a miracle, and the Holy Spirit put within Mary Jesus, and so therefore, through a miraculous means, so therefore it's only Mary's line that we're really interested in, but Joseph's line is to help show the Jews that yes, Joseph comes from the kingly line as well, just like Mary does. So they're both, even though Joseph was only a stepfather, they are both from the kingly line of David, fulfilling all of the prophecies. Okay, Nehemiah chapter 10 is where we are tonight. Nehemiah chapter 10. We're looking at some things that they were having a revival. As we looked last week, they were having a revival in Nehemiah chapter 9, and as a result, they had great things happen as they prayed and confessed their sins, and God then shared all the different things that happened to them, how He brought them out of Egypt, etc. Let us bow together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time tonight to look into Your Word. We pray You'd help us to apply these principles to our heart tonight of separation unto You, away from the world, Lord. Help us to apply principles of separation in our own lives, Lord, that You'd help us to draw lines so that we can have a clear line to not cross, so we can be helped in our Christian lives. Lord, help us as parents to do that. Help us as grandparents to continue to do that. Help us to keep clear lines of separation between us and the world, that we can be separated unto You for Your glory and honor. We pray You'd fill me with Thy Spirit, that I may speak forth Thy truth tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Nehemiah 10, we're going to skip down to verse 28. Nehemiah 10, verse 28. And it says, "And the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the porters, the singers, the Nethinims, and all they that had separated themselves from the people of the lands unto the law of God, their wives, their sons, and their daughters, everyone having knowledge and having understanding." All right, now you read 29 for us. "They clave
to their brethren, their nobles, and entered into a curse, and into an oath, to walk in God's law, which was given by Moses, the servant of God, and to observe and do all the commandments of the Lord, our Lord, and His judgments and His statutes."
Okay, so here, we'll go verse by verse. Who was it that was gathered there in Jerusalem to now make this important decision or covenant? All the Israelites, including even, remember the Gibeonites back from Joshua's day, the Gibeonites that said, "No, please, we're from a far country and We'll do whatever you want us to do, and we'll just make a peace treaty with it." Well, even the descendants of the Gibeonites are called the Nethinims. They are the descendants of the Gibeonites. They have always been the ones to draw water and to hew the trees for the people of Israel. And in return, what did they get? Well, number one, they didn't get killed, but number two, they got all the covenant blessings of Israel as well. You know, and I think the Nethinims and the Gibeonites, they're a picture of, number one, sometimes Christians unwittingly enter into marriages with someone who talks a big talk, but then they all of a sudden, as soon as they get married, they have nothing to do with God. Well, that's like an alliance with a Gibeonite. Well, they said this, but then they drew back on their word, and it turns out they are not Christian at all, or if they are a Christian, they're just a very carnal Christian that has nothing, they don't want to do anything with God. Well, that's entering into an alliance with a Gibeonite. And so still Christians do that today, whether wittingly or unwittingly. If they would have prayed and sought the Lord better, they could have seen signs. But sometimes, even with all of these things, it's hard. So at any rate, if we find ourselves in alliance with a Gibeonite, we need to thank God at least that they are providing for us, and keep on trying to win them back to the Lord, or win them to the Lord, whatever the case may be. So they did have to work, but as a result, they got the covenant blessings that, or at least the outskirts of the covenant blessings of being in the people of God. They were saved because they did worship the one true God, Jehovah. And number two, they were blessed by God's people. So anyway, so here, no matter what situation you're in, guess what? There's still a blessing for you if you go God's way. Okay, number 20, verse 29. So here they all gathered together. We're going to list some things tonight. It's going to be a practical message on what things we should separate ourselves from the world to God. So separation from to God from the world. Okay, let's start with the first thing they did in verse 29. What did they do? What did they decide? As a group, as a people, there was thousands. There was 30, I just read in Ezra in my devotions, there was some 30,000 people that came back with Ezra. Then those that came back with Zerubbabel, there was 100,000. So there was quite a lot of the remnants gathered here. What did they decide to do together? Okay, they entered into a curse or an oath. Okay, that literally, when in Deuteronomy it talks about Moses said, "I set before you a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you will obey, and a curse if you will not." See, so literally they were saying, "Lord, curse us if we don't obey your word." You know, that's pretty strong, right? That's pretty strong. Well, that's exactly what we do when we get saved. Literally, we are entering into a covenant relationship with God, not necessarily a covenant like Old Testament Israel. And we don't want to confuse Old Testament Israel with New Testament Christianity. So we don't enter into a covenant, but we enter into a relationship with Jesus. We are now saying to him what? I take you as my Savior. To be my Savior and my Lord. You know, you want him to not just save your soul, but to then be the Lord of your life, right? It's important to walk in what? What did they say? Lord, we will enter into an oath with you to do what? Walk in God's law. To keep the word of God. Do you wonder sometimes why God seems like he's your enemy? Have you ever wondered that? You're living your life, you're not making good decisions, you're getting into sin, and all of a sudden you feel dread at church when a certain subject is preached about, or you feel dread or guilt as you're at home and you're trying to read your Bible and you see, I can't read my Bible because I feel so guilty. Well, why is that? Why do you feel that way? Anyone? God is convicting you. That's right. I left the portable mic back there. I'll get that. God is convicting you. Okay, so what do we need to do to feel that close relationship again? To confess sins. Confess sins to come back to the Lord. Okay, so here, that's what they basically are saying. They're saying, Lord, we will walk in all your ways, which was given to by Moses, the servant of God. So number one, we should separate ourselves unto God each day. We're making New Testament principles from an Old Testament account. To do what? What should we do every day? To read our Bible, okay? And not just to read it and say, ooh, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with this. I'm not going to do that. But I'll do this over here. Not pick and choose what we want to agree with and do and what we don't want to do, but we need to do then do all of it. Do everything. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you what? Fishers of men. Well, I don't like being a fisher. That's uncomfortable. We can't pick and choose. We've got to do what even the things that we don't necessarily like, to do it anyway. Okay, so they separate themselves unto God and to obey his word. Okay, number two. What else did they separate themselves from? Verse 30. Young people, this is for the young people. How many are not married yet? Raise your hand. Okay, this verse is for you. Okay, verse 30. Read it out loud, those that are not married yet. And that we would... So here, what were they telling God that they would do? Is everyone there? Nehemiah 10:30. What were they saying? I heard some whispering over here. Zion, Zamora, heard some whispering from your side. What'd they say? They would not do what? What's that? You'll know? Anyone know? Okay, Zamora? Give their daughters to who? Give our daughters unto who? The people of the land. Okay, so the young people, this is very important. You need to make this decision now and every day of your life to not marry who? An unsaved person. If you do, you are going to go against God's clear teachings and yoking up with an unbeliever. But not only that, but you'll have heartache for the whole rest of your life. Oh, but he's so cute, and oh, she's so pretty. It doesn't matter. They're not saved. Okay, so not only not marry an unsaved person, but marry who? A saved what? Saved and obedient. Saved, obedient Christian. Okay? Anyone can tell you, I did that when I was five. I did that when I was last year. Are they going to church? Have they been baptized? Are they reading their Bible? Are they praying? Are they living for God? If they're not... Watch out, they might try to change just for you. And it's only going to be a temporary change. Yes, Brother Steve? Very good. So not date or even go out on a date with an unsaved person. That's how marriage starts, is by a simple date. Now, living in 2018 like we do, what else should young people not do as they think about purity and the world? What else? What is popular in the world? Day, unsaved society, the world. What's popular as well? It's not being married, but it's still having the same relationship. Living together, okay? So what else should you make a covenant with the Lord that you will not do? Not enter into a physical union with anyone. Until when? Till the day you do what? Till the wedding day. Until your wedding day. Do you know why the bride wears white? Anyone know why the bride wears white? What does white stand for? Purity. Okay, good. God wants you to be pure, set apart unto Him until your wedding day. That means, you know, you want to wear a white dress. Now, many people, just because they get married, they wear a white dress, but they've been living together for 5 years or 10 years or whatever amount of time, and yet the bride still wears white. Should she technically be wearing white? No. The answer is no. They just do it because they want everyone to think they're pure, or they don't want to talk about it, or they don't want to even, you know, everyone just kind of throws the notion out of their head. Well, guess what? It's not reality. One day they're going to stand before God, and God knows the truth. And also there's punishment that goes along with not being pure. What happens to people who don't stay pure and who start sleeping around? They get in trouble with God. They get a disease. They get diseases. 50% of adults today have some kind of disease that accompanies impurity. Or maybe it's in the unwed group. I forget what the exact statistic is, but it's 50% of some group. It has a disease of some type. So you don't want to get a disease. You don't want to get the judgment of God. So wait until your wedding day, and that will not happen. You say, how do you know? Well, because it won't. It's biologically impossible to get a disease if you are staying pure for God. Okay? So live and stay pure for God. Okay, anything else that anyone wants to mention along these lines? To highlight separation unto God for wedding day. Okay. All right, let's keep moving. Verse 31. What did they then separate themselves unto God for? Let's read it together. And if the people of the land bring ware or any victuals on the Sabbath day to sell, that we would not buy it of them on the Sabbath or on the holy day, and that we would leave the seventh year and the exaction of every debt. Okay, so what else did they make a covenant to do? So what's that, Brother Steve? Okay, to that day was set apart for God, and so the Jewish people were not to even buy anything on that day. And if the unsaved, the world came in and would sell things and said, hey, buy our stuff. No, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And as New Testament Christians, Jesus changed the Sabbath to Sunday. And at times we may need something, like Jesus when he was going through the fields of corn, traveling, ministering. What did he do? He plucked off some ears of corn for he and his disciples. Okay, why? Because he is the Lord of the harvest. Jesus is allowed to take corn. Why? Because he made the corn. Okay, and don't worry, that he knew the owner of the field very well. You say, how do you know him? Because he knows everyone. He knew the owner of the field very well, and he's the one who made the corn, so Jesus is allowed to pluck the ears for him and his disciples. And so Jesus is the Lord of the harvest. There are certain conditions on Sunday that we do have to, let's say, just to eat or to survive, we have to buy things. But should we be doing our major errands on Sunday? No. Should it be a fun day? Yes or no? Okay. Remember, we should take time to rest on Sunday. The people who work on Sundays, they are ragged and tired. Okay, if they work all week and then they work on Sunday as well, you take a poll, 100% of them are ragged. And 100% of them said, oh, they need a break. Why? Because their body is telling them, hey, don't work 7 days. Okay, so it's important on Sunday, just because we're not in the Old Testament law anymore, does that mean the fourth commandment, God took back the fourth commandment, you know? It's, you know, if you look at the Exodus 20 now, you only read 9 commandments, right? Remember the Sabbath day is gone. No, it's still there. And Jesus said he is Lord of the Sabbath, but he still respected and remembered the Sabbath. He only walked on occasions on the Sabbath day to minister to people. So is it okay to drive and minister to people on Sunday? Yes. Is it okay to use it as a fun day? No. Okay? So there's the difference. Okay? Any questions about that? Okay, now of course some of us may dot our I's and cross our T's differently regarding this principle. However, there should be a difference between Sunday and every other day of the week, right? Yes. Those who don't, Christians who, there's a lot of churches now that quote unquote Christian churches, but they're the contemporary churches that are going in their music, going into rock concerts and entertainment, and also the preaching is getting dumbed down and it's getting put to the side. When you go into the contemporary church today, the pulpit is not front and center. Why is the pulpit not front and center? What's front and center on the platform of the new churches today? It's what? The band set. The electric guitarist and the lead singer has their microphone front and center. Is that how they worshiped in the Old Testament? Where a chosen few who had the good voices and had the special talent, our instrumentalists aren't up here crooning. You know, you didn't see Stephen or Paul crooning into the microphone tonight, right? You didn't see Brother Daniel playing his trumpet, you know, for the audience and, you know, getting everyone into it. Why? Because that's not what the local church is all about. A church is not to entertain, but to do what? To worship. In Psalms, David had, he had over 100 instrumentalists, you know, worshiping the Lord, but they worshiped the Lord together. There wasn't an elite few on the platform who knew all the ins and outs of all the chords and the high notes and the low notes, and they were the only ones who could hit them. If you go into the modern contemporary church today and listen to the songs, and actually try to sing these songs, not only are they not God glorifying because they're carnal rock music, but number two, a lot of them are extremely hard to sing. And only a really, you know, practiced few can actually do this. Is that how God's churches should be, where only about 8 people can really sing well, and then the congregation has to fumble along and follow along the screen? We worship you, and everyone's saying, "Oh, I can't do this." It's making it to be church to be bringing it back to the liturgical ages of the Dark Ages in the past, where only the few Catholic singers and whoever were the ones actually doing the services, but the people couldn't sing because it was in Latin. Can you imagine trying to sing in Latin and you don't know Latin? Okay, so literally, many churches are now going back to not congregational worship, but to a oligarchy worship. A few people worshiping, the rest of the people fumbling along, you know. And so this is not New Testament Christianity. It's not even Old Testament worship, even though they try to claim Psalms for what they're doing. No, if you look at Psalms, it was very orderly orchestras leading and helping to enhance the music, but everyone was able to sing together. And it wasn't just a few doing it well and the rest of them fumbling along. Okay, so this is what Satan is trying to put into churches today. He's trying to make a worship of the few, not congregational worship. Okay, so let's keep it simple, but yet heartfelt. The hymns are not noticed. It doesn't, you know, you don't have to be really musically talented to be able to follow along with a hymn, right? And it's sung, and it's on one page most of the time, and you can sing through each verse, and you can actually start to get it after the first time. Why is that? Because God put within these hymn writers and spiritual songwriters and psalmists easy hymns that could be easy to sing, but yet beautiful in melody, harmony, and rhythm. Okay, so we have a beautiful... layout for worship. Okay, so Sunday is not fun day. Don't use it as fun day. Even on vacation, it's important to go to church. Why? Because is God say, oh, take a vacation from Him? No, don't take a vacation. direction from God. That's I find that on vacation, I love vacation because it's a time to, where I get to see another a New Testament church of like faith and practice in another place. Say, wow, you know what? They're doing it exactly the same as we're doing it back home. In fact, it reminds me of the people back home. And that's a beautiful thing. We should be going to church on vacation. Why? Because that helps Christians realize, hey, there's other believers that are doing the exact same thing we're doing. They're the same size we are, and they're still being faithful at it. And that's the beautiful thing, that all over the country and around the world, in many parts of the world, we can find New Testament Independent Baptist churches doing the same things we're doing, still staying faithful to the Lord. Okay, then let's see, verse 31, let's read it together. And if the people of the land bring ware or any victuals, I'm sorry, did we read that? Verse 32, also we made ordinances for us to charge ourselves yearly with the third part of a shekel for the service of the house of our God. Okay, what did they do here? Okay, that basically they said, hey, we want to make it an ordinance that every Israelite should give tithes to God and give offerings to God. Verse 33, for the showbread and the continual meat offering and the continual burnt offering and of the Sabbaths and the new moons, for the set feasts and for the holy things and for the sin offerings to make an atonement for Israel for all the work of the house of our God. Here they said, we are going to keep all of the feasts. Now, do we have to keep the feasts as New Testament Christians? No. Some people have different convictions regarding different holidays and whatever else. Well, that's between them and the Lord. But we should all be wanting to worship the Lord each time the doors of the church are opened. That you will be blessed as a family for coming each time the doors of the church are open. What other separation principles would be good for us to learn? Separation unto God from the world. Let's now make it an open time. What important separation principles did you learn as a younger Christian that helped you? Separation unto God from the world. Anyone? Carrots? Okay, good. Okay. All right. To wait until marriage. That's good. All right. Anyone else? What other separation principles did you learn from a more mature Christian than you or an older Christian that you put into practice in your own life that helped you? Yes, Holly? What's that? Stay in His will. Good. Okay. Stay in the will of God. Try to keep as close to God as possible. Don't follow the Christians that are out on the outskirts, the edges. Oh, we don't have to do that. Oh, we don't, reading, oh, you know, doing the letter of the law. Oh, I don't like the letter of the law. I just like the spirit of the law. And all they talk about is the spirit of the law. Meanwhile, they're skipping services. They're talking about things that don't honor God. You know, don't follow those kind of Christians. What else? What other separation unto God principles from the world have you adopted in your own life that has been a blessing to you? Any thoughts? I know you have. We all have. Okay. Yes, Carol.
Attire.
Good. What attire principles did you put on? Good. Clothing. God has much to say about clothing. What does He say about clothing? Put on modest apparel. Let's go to 1 Timothy. Or I'm sorry. Yes. 2 Timothy and also 1 Peter deals with this principle. Verse Okay, if you find a passage dealing with clothing, please tell us. Thank you. 1 Timothy 2:9. Okay, let's go to 1 Timothy 2:9, and who would like to read that one for us? Okay, Wellington. Okay, so, but which would becometh women professing godliness with good works. Okay, so what should you women be known for? What are the fashions of the world? Tight, skimpy, and not God honoring. That's what, unfortunately, even going into Walmart, you know, you see clothing like, you know, Who's going to wear that? That's just awful, you know? Why? Because the world is trying to, the devil is behind the world, and he wants ladies to show as much skin as possible, and as a result, they are not modest, but immodest, and it's only feeding into the lusts of today and men. And so men have to avert their eyes. That's something we have to do as men, avert our eyes if someone is not dressed properly. We are in charge of our eyes. We can't control what someone wears, but we can control where we're looking. Okay? 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee also youthful lusts. What is youthful lusts? Any impurity, any looking upon a woman that's not dressed properly, that's youthful lusts. Joseph, he, when Potiphar's wife said, hey, Joseph, lie with me. And she probably wasn't clothed that modestly. And she said, lie with me. What'd Joseph do? Well, let's talk about this. I'm going to preach to you for a little while on the subject of modesty. Did he say that to her? No, he said, I'm getting out of here. He said, I'm not going to look at you, Potiphar's wife. You are Potiphar's, and I'm leaving. I'm out of here. Boom, he ran out the door. He left his coat in her hands. That's how quick he got out. And he didn't try to fight with her. He didn't try to say, hey, that's my coat, and linger a moment longer. So men, we need to follow Joseph's example. How did God bless Joseph? God blessed Joseph with a wonderful wife, two wonderful kids, and Manasseh and Ephraim, their two kids, became the fathers, heads of two of the 12 tribes of Israel, and became very prolific. They had wonderful big families. Well, God blessed Joseph with two tribes, not just one, but two, because of his integrity. So we need to be men of integrity. Doesn't matter what the woman does, what women around us do, we need to avert our eyes. Women, what should you be doing to help your brothers, your Christian brothers? And girls, what should you be doing? Holly? Wear modest clothes. Cover your body. That word modesty means covering the body, okay? The women in the Old Testament and the New Testament period, they would wear these robes that would cover them from neck to down to their ankles. They would wear these long robes. Why? Because they wanted to stay modest, and they'd wear belts, and so they had modest robes that they would wear, and then on Sunday or the Sabbath day, they would wash their robes, get them real clean and white. They would wash their robes down by the river. Why? That would bring out their Sunday best. So that's the principle. You say, why does everyone dress up for church on Sundays? Because that's what they did in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. You know, that they wore their Sunday best. They brought their best clothes out of their closet. Does that mean everyone has to wear tuxedos to church? No, but wear the best you have. Wear something that is befitting worshiping who? Are you worshiping the pastor? Are you worshiping the church members? Are you making sure they notice you? Look at my new hat. Look at my new tie. No, you're wearing something because wearing your best to come into the presence of whom? God. God. Jesus is here. Newsflash. Jesus is right here in our midst tonight. Oh, whoa. Yeah, it should cause us to think and say, am I representing Jesus the best I can? Yes, it does take planning and effort. You know, anyone who serves in this church, especially up front, the choir, we tell them you have to wear a skirt, or if you're a lady, a skirt or a dress, and if you're a man, you have to wear a dress shirt and at least a tie. Okay, why? If you're up in front, you need to be dressed accordingly. If you're serving in other ways, we expect you to dress to represent God. Any questions, comments about that? Let's look at verse 9. The women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety. That means not flaunting your beauty, but literally hiding your beauty. You know, that is a very attractive quality to a young man who's looking for a woman to marry, and he's of marriageable age. He doesn't like the woman that's dressing immodestly, throwing herself out there for every man that comes along. Guess who he's waiting for, a Christian young man? He's waiting for the one that's kind of hiding her face even, you know, and saying, hey, you know what, I want to be pure. I want to do everything pure for God. And that's the one that's very attractive to him. He wants the woman who's not been tainted by all the other men's looks and wearing immodest clothes, but he wants the one who's keeping herself and taking care of herself and all those things. Not with broided hair. That word is not braided, but broided. Literally, it comes from the word embroidered. Broided hair means done in such a way that you can even embroider jewels into the hair, and just spending a lot of time on the hair. You know, is it wrong to wear a braid? No, it's not wrong to wear a braid. What the verse is teaching is don't spend a lot of time, an overt amount of time, on your hair and on your jewelry and this, or gold or pearls or costly, right? Don't come to church in the flashy gold because you just want to be seen, but what makes a woman pretty? Verse 10, but which becometh women professing godliness. That word becometh means attractive. You know what makes women attractive who profess godliness? Is their good works. Their good works. That's what makes a woman perpetually attractive. Is number one, she's shamefaced, she's modest, she's sober, she's not placing an undue amount of attention on herself, but she's still taking care of herself, she's still making herself pretty, but she's, her good works is what is making her attractive, her good works. So ladies, young ladies, make your good works show forth, and not your skin. The world tries to boast of their skin, and that's, you know what, beauty is only skin deep in those cases, and the men you'll attract the wrong kind of man if you dress immodestly. What kind of man will you attract? The one who's going to take good care of you for the rest of your life and provide for you and guard you and help you? Or the one who's just in it for the one-night wonder? Just in it for a short-term relationship and then go on to the next one? Which one do you think? What do you think, girls? Short-term relationship. He just wants to get whatever he wants out of you and then move on to the next one. And you don't want that kind of guy. He is no good. And he'll promise you the world. He'll say you're the most beautiful thing. He'll say all these flattering comments. But he is wicked and a son of Belial. And then the woman, young men, don't go after the woman who shows off her skin. Stay as far away from her as possible. But she is the adulteress who hunts for the precious life. She wants to take you down because you are a man of God or a young man of God. Stay as far away from her as possible. On the internet, on the TV, on the movies, stay as far away from her. In real life, she will take you down if you give her time. Do not go near her. All right, anything else? Good topic. Clothing. What else? What other separation principle? We have time for one more that you made in your Christian life that has helped you. What's that? Parties. Okay, what principle did you learn after you got saved, Pat, about parties? Okay. Okay, what kind of parties are you talking about? Okay, how many know of those kind of parties or hear about them from people down the street or see them with the loud music blaring down the neighborhood? Okay, what goes on at those dancing parties that is not honoring to God? Drinking, okay. Can people control what they do when they get drunk? No. When men start making lewd gestures or say bad things, and ladies start doing things they shouldn't be doing. Why? Because they're not in control anymore. What else besides drunkenness? Smoking. Okay. What does that do to your liver and your other organs? Kills you. So does drinking. If you drink alcohol, your liver is going to die. Eventually, it's going to just get toxic. If you look at a liver that's a person that's a drinker, it's all scarred and it's all messed up. Okay, so don't do these things. It's abusing your body. It's the temple of God. What else are at these parties? Karas? Tobacco, okay. All right, it's good. That chewing tobacco has nicotine in it as well, and it actually has little particles of, what is that stuff? What is it? Tar, but it also has little particles of like something that cuts your tongue a little bit. Yeah, it's like little pieces, almost like glass. It's not glass, but little pieces that actually cut your tongue so the nicotine and tar and tobacco can get into your system. How many want to cut your tongue up? It sounds painful just thinking about it. Well, that's literally what this chewing tobacco is. It's very, very bad for your system. It'll give people that do it a lot, guess what they get? They get mouth cancer. Their tongue has to get cut off. Part of their mouth has to get cut off. Their lips sometimes. Very, very disgusting habit. Okay, what else that goes on at these parties?
Bad clothing.
Okay, immodesty. Okay, what else? Drugs. The Atlantic City right now is on the streets. TJ, tell us what you saw on the streets this past week as you were helping people with get showers and clothes.
We helped this one person, and after they came out, we sent like 10 needles to the trash
can. Ooh. Okay, so they had drugs and needles and putting this into their body.
Using pens.
Terrible thing. And all the drug dealers, what they do is they put a little bit of the drug that everybody wants in there, but then they mix it with a lot of filler and other chemicals that are deadly, that can kill people. So literally, the people, they want cheap drug. Give me the cheapest drug you have, and they give them just a little bit of money for this cheap drug. Well, what's in it can kill them because it's bad chemicals that look like the real drug. And literally, people are dying every day. You see it in the papers. People are dying every day from drug overdoses. Why? Because they want to get that next high. These are people that don't know the Lord, and they don't know what Jesus can give them. He can give them life, satisfaction, and joy, and peace. And they're looking for it in all the wrong places. They're thinking that drug will give them the next joy or happiness. All right, so let's stay away from these things. So these are important separation to God principles. This will help you to avoid destroying your life in sin. And how many want a nice family one day, a Christian family, a nice wife, a nice husband, with kids, and bringing them all to church, dressing up the little ones, and having just a wonderful life together? That sounds like a good thing, right? That's what God wants you to have if He tarries. But don't go into these things, or you will hurt those chances and have heartache in the process. Let us close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time tonight to be able to understand the separation principles of Nehemiah, that Your people made an oath to You to follow You with all their heart. Lord, help us to do the same. And as a result, they had joy and wonderful rejoicing. And Lord, help us to have that same joy in our own lives. We know anything we give up for you is a blessing. Any worldly vice or sin that we give up for you, even if it's not that bad in the world's standards, that we know giving it up will yield greater blessing in our own lives and greater joy. Help us to give up things that you prompt upon our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn in our hymn books as we close this service. 496. Actually, we sang that one this morning. Let us sing. 497, Jesus, I my cross have taken. Let's all stand together as we sing this song. And if you made a decision tonight or you want to make a decision to separate yourselves unto God, would you come as we sing this song and kneel at the altar? Make it a prayer altar to God tonight. 497. Jesus, I my cross have taken, all to leave and follow thee. Death destitute, despised, forsaken, now from hence my all shall be. Perish every fond ambition, all life's toys and hopes unknown. Yet how rich is my condition, God and heaven are still my own. Let's bow our heads. If the Lord has spoken to you tonight, or if you just want to renew a separation commitment that you made earlier in your Christian life, would you come and just kneel at the altar and encourage the brethren as we make these separation commitments to God? Second verse with our heads bowed, would you come?
Let the world despise and leave me. They have left my Savior too. Human hearts and looks deceive me.
Thank you. Steve Altomare, would you please close this one?
Lord Jesus, we thank you, Father, that we have this wonderful privilege to be called children of God, Father. And thank you for dying on the cross, Lord, to save us from our wickedness, Lord. And thank you that you redeem us through your loving kindness by your blood, Lord. I pray that we will continuously commit our lives to you, Father.
Amen.
And thank you that you continuously make intercession for us up in heaven, Lord, for your blood. I just pray that you all continue to bless the people of this church, Father, and the pastor of this church and his family.
Amen.
Lord, I just pray that you all have your hand upon even us as a nation, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.